Now that's groovy, huh? That's some groovy, groovy stuff there. That is Merle Haggard and Okie from Muskogee. I'll tell you, love playing Merle's music, even if he did come into the radio station here a few weeks back and was very, very upset with the fact that I had made a reference to smoking weed with underage girls. And I was, of course, talking euphemistically, jokingly. But Merle swung on me and clipped me pretty good here on the jaw and knocked a few teeth out. And when I got up and said, "Hey, who do you think you are?" Then he punched me again, knocked me to the floor, kicked me in the balls. And then I believe Eddie, what was that? Headlocked me and jammed my face right into a, it looked like a wall clock of some kind. Remember that?
Yeah.
All right. So that's Merle Haggard, and that is Okie from Muskogee here, 25 minutes after the hour here on This Country USA. This is Gene Jabel, and let's get into some other great country. I think that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do that on the show today. Gene Jabel's Country USA show, and here's what we're going to do. We're going to go down to our country file. This is what I'm looking for. This is what I need. This is what I need. This is what I want. We only got three country songs? Bullshit. Bullshit. All right. Excuse me. That was rude as living out. That was rude as living as living Christ. Where the hell is wow, that's my eyes are. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord and the thing that then the deed that then. All right. Jesus Christ, what? All right, okay, there we go. All right, that is a fantastic song there. It's from Brooks and Dunn. It's called She's Not the Cheating Kind. Gene Jabel here, Country USA. And right at about 13 minutes after the hour here on Country USA, we had a great time with Brooks and Dunn. I had made a comment, and I was very happy to have Brooks and Dunn here in our Nashville studios here at Country USA. I'm Gene Jabel. Hey, that's Brooks and Dunn, and that is She's Not the Cheating Kind. I had a great time with Brooks and Dunn. That's Gene Jabel here. Yeah, I'll do that. That's groovy, man. That's a groovy idea. Let me just put some ideas down here on paper. Now, how are we going to do Sherry's Berries? I want to tell you a little bit about Sherry. Hey, this is Phil Henry for Sherry's Berries. Gene, thank you very much. All right, my very good friend, Gene Jabel. Hey, my very good friend, Phil. All right, now it's time for my very good friend, Phil Henry. I'm going to be giving us the... And time now for our very good friend, Phil Henry, to tell you about Sherry's Berries. Sherry's Berries. Go ahead, Phil. Thanks a lot, Gene. Hey, listen, Sherry's Berries is it's where it's at, man, as far as I'm concerned. This coming Mother's Day, you can't do anything better for your mother than this. I don't care what it is you think she needs this. This is a thoughtful gift. This is you giving your mother something she can indulge in, okay? It's not you bugging her and telling her what she needs. It's not you telling, oh, Mother, you can get... Give her something she wants, okay? Give her chocolate-covered strawberries. Isn't that right, ladies? Isn't that right, Mom? Wouldn't you like delicious chocolate-covered white chocolate, milk chocolate? Oh, man. With the little sprinkles? Huh? Okay. All your life, all you ever wanted to do was to sit down and eat something like a chocolate-covered... And these are big, fat, luscious. And I come from strawberry country, okay? Say what you will about Phil Henry, and if you want to hold that against me, you can. But I do come from strawberry country. And,
Say, Gino, just want to ask you if you were nosing around my home here on Friday night.
I think, where do you live, buddy?
I live up here in a canyon section of Nashville.
I think I was. I was out there. As a matter of fact, I think I was. Is that your canyon home?
Yeah, that was that. Okay, so that was you masturbating in the bushes, right?
As a matter of fact, yes, it was. And I want to apologize for that.
Okay, go ahead. You can try.
Well, I want to apologize for masturbating in the bushes. I was looking in the window, I think, of your daughter. Do you have a daughter?
You bet I do. Yeah, I got two of them.
All right. I think it was your daughter, and I was staring in the window, and I was masturbating, and I got to tell you, it was enjoyable, but I want to apologize to you.
Well, that's fine, but that's not going to be enough.
I didn't think it would be enough, and certainly I'd be very, very happy to come down to your house, and if you'd like, you can kick my ass. Ah! Oh, God. Okay, I'm going to try this, man. Ginger Bell here. All right, that is Brooks and Dunn. That is, she's not the cheating kind. You better believe she is not the cheating kind. I will tell you, I met Brooks and Dunn. Very, very, very nice guys. Real country artists. Great country stars. We had the Ginger Bell Country Jamboree over here, and they were very kind enough to contribute their time and their efforts to our Ginger Bell Country Jamboree. This is a country jamboree whose the monies of which, of course, we acquire and intend for charities. We had some difficulty in disseminating that charitable money. And I did meet with Brooks and Dunn after the show. I told them that I was not able to disseminate that charitable money in the way that they would have liked, in the way that they wanted to associate themselves. And I said to them at that time, you can take it or leave it. It was probably the wrong thing to say. And Brooks, I think it was whoever the tall guy was, hit me with a gut shot with a right hand. And I mean, knocked the wind right out of me. And I said a vulgar thing to him. I did, and I do appreciate. Not only do I appreciate having you punch me, and he punched me in the jaw and knocked out or loosened two lower teeth. I also want to say I appreciate very much the fact that you didn't kill me. So, and then he kneed me again in the testicle region, and I fell to the floor. I said another vulgar thing to him, and his wife or girlfriend or a young lady was there, and that's when he kicked me with a cowboy boot, the pointed boot, right under my chin and the soft of the throat, which caused me to have difficulty breathing for about a half an hour. And he then hit me again, and I said another filthy thing, and he hit me with the other. And then the other guy came along, and their bouncer picked me up and threw me out in the street, and tried to back the car over me, and then I rolled out of the way. I did try to sue, but they had attorneys who were far better than the attorney that I have. My attorney is a guy that I pulled out of the Yellow Pages. Basically what they did is completely snowed me, and I was in the wrong, but I tried to get, you know, assault charges and this and that. So that's just a wonderful experience with Brooks and Dunn. I do want to thank them for that. We're going to be right back here. The Gene Jabel, this is Country USA. Say, everybody, we're going to come down here to the downtown clown town. Well, say, everybody, this is Willie Dixon. I hope you come and meet me this Saturday night at the Willie Dixon Parlor. I'm not Willie Dixon, the blues player. I'm Willie Dixon, the country singer. Willie Dixon's a big guy, very talented guy. I'm small and not very talented. I play the banjo. I hope you come on down and see me. Willie Dixon Blues Parlor and Country Parlor, downtown Nashville. All right, let's get back here to Country USA. Everybody riding on overnight. All you truckers out there, throw it into 16th gear. Let the good times roll here on Gene Jabel Country Music Jamboree.
Yeah, I didn't know.
Yeah, what about, how old are you?
Does it matter?
No, it doesn't really matter, no. And, all right, well, I'll probably meet you later on.
Testing 1-2. Well, there's that guy, this is very interesting. This is an actor who I'm looking at right now on TCM. Wayne Morris. Is that his name? Wayne Morris? Wayne Morris was in Wayne Morris was in Paths of Glory, which was the Kubrick movie from the 50s, and played a phenomenal part in the film. He played a cowardly officer who winds up getting one of his men killed. And he actually winds up getting one man killed in the field, and then he gets another man, the character gets another man court-martialed and shot for the cowardice that he, in point of fact, was guilty of. This was the character played by this actor, Wayne Morris, whose career started in Hollywood as a pretty boy. He was this blonde-haired, tall, athletic, sort of ruggedly handsome, not ruggedly handsome, kind of a college boy handsome guy. And he was in these movies in the 30s and 40s, you know, with Edward G. Robinson and whoever the fuck else. And had a sort of a passable career, I guess. But then he pops up in this Paths of Glory as an alcoholic officer. Fucking, and he was great. I mean, he was great. And I think it was noted at the time that he sort of had found a new beginning or a new career. Playing the great, great character parts. But anyway, it's great to look at actors do that, you know, and try different things, you know. I so admire that. I so want to be that kind of a thespian, you know.
You know, can I just for a moment? Thank you. You know, hey man, what the fuck is with that camera? I cannot fucking understand this camera. What is the deal, man? Motherfucker! I cannot for the life of me understand that goddamn camera. I can't understand camera fucking one. It just shits out on me, man. I got camera three working here. Camera one is not happening. I'm always going to go with the sheep. I'm sorry. We don't smoke marijuana in Muskogee. All right. Get out of here. Fuck off and die. Let's see here, man. Yeah. Joel Nola here now on Gene Jabel Country USA with Billy Joe Royal. Yeah. Billy Joe Royal, yeah.
Ooh, I knew you would. A girl all along without love. I knew you would. I knew you would. You were sad and all alone. You didn't have anyone.
What the fuck is...
that you could call your own. I knew you when your heart belonged to only me. But that was many tears ago.
Now your love is just a memory.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what this movie is. Wayne Morris is in the... Is that his... I hope I got his name right. The movie is called... and here's that other actor that... It's called Kid Galahad. Yeah, Wayne Morris and Edward G. Robinson. Wayne Morris, a fight manager, and his girlfriend put a bellhop in the ring with a crooked rival's heavyweight. It is a drama. The crooked rival's, the bellhop is Wayne Morris, and Betty Davis is in this. I just saw her, and Edward G. Robinson. Oh, this is awesome. Now, who's this creep? And there's another creep in this movie, and his name is Creep Williamson. Christ, he's great. I put it up on the screen, but it's on the wrong TV. So it's Bill. It's Kid Galahad, is that it? Yeah, Kid Galahad. So you know that if you know the movie Kid Galahad, and maybe you don't. I don't know. Fuck. What the fuck do I know, huh? And I'm just trying to say stuff. All right, are we ready with this piece of shit? No, we're not. And we've got 10 minutes to go. All right, I want to get this right. Now, as you know, I do a lot of improv. Why? Because I'm fucking lazy. Because I'm fucking lazy. That's why. Not because, oh, I think it's a much more superior form of comedy. I do feel it's a superior form of comedy if you know how to do it, which, well, I do. And it just so happens that because I'm fucking lazy, and on top of that, I do improv fairly well. Number three comes up. That's what we do on The Phil Henry Show. Yes, of course, we bullet point, if you will. We build a structure and all that good shit. But once the structure is built, you forget the structure and you pour into it the energy of the moment. This is the way an actor... Actually, the horn's there, so I should... This is the way an actor should and should not behave. I haven't always been lazy. I worked my fucking ass off for 99.999999% of my career. But there came a point in my career and in my life when I said, why am I working my ass off for all these motherfuckers? Not you, but the motherfuckers that I worked for, right? Why was I working my ass off for a bunch of suit scum that didn't know what it was they were listening to, couldn't have given a fuck, and all they wanted to do was go out, suck just a couple of more dicks, make that fucking sales number that they needed to make, that the sales manager, they don't, who fucking knows, and they could go off and drink and badmouth the talent, which is what they did every motherfucking Friday night at their local watering hole. You name it, in your local town, it's probably something, it's, you know, every town's got one. Does it sound like I don't like airtime salespeople? Not individually. Individually, I've known some, and they're fantastic guys. But as a group of people, yes, they are, for the most part, they always were the enemy. Now, I know that that's not a good way to see them, but I never was taught to see them any other way because I never had any fucking reason to see them any other way. However, there are suits, and there are just crazy motherfuckers that you work for. I'd rather work for crazy motherfuckers. I've worked for some crazy motherfuckers, too. Bob Green. David G. Hall. Craig Kitchen. I like Craig. We had our run-ins, but who the hell didn't I have a run-in with? Craig Kitchen. Tim Kelly. I don't know, you know. I can think of a few. Rich Galato. Crazy motherfuckers. Not suits, crazy. So I've had the guys that I liked in management. Don't get me wrong. Having said all of that, the guys that, you know, made life difficult for you generally were those people that were not really interested in what you were attempting to do on the air. They wanted results. I understand. I understand it's a results-driven business. I get it. But you know, there's only so much a guy on the air can do, and then he needs a little bit of support from the sales guys, you know. So I could turn right around and say to them the very thing they'd say to me, which was, I need results from you. Sell this motherfucker, you know. Well, I can't sell it unless I have the ratings. All right, well, I thought that you guys were salespeople, meaning I thought you guys went out and fucking, you know, did the job regardless of what little book you had under your arm, right? Nonetheless, be that as it may, I came to have a very healthy disrespect for all of those people. And one of the things that I stopped doing as a result of it, why am I working my ass off for these motherfuckers, you know? I'm breaking my fucking ass. I'm going to give you an example. When I went to Afternoon Drive at KFI, the general manager at the time, and I'm not going to say his name, said, yeah, that's the play, man. That's where you ought to be. Oh, yeah, he was a big fucking believer. Yeah, sure, right. Why not? Why not put Phil Hendry at Afternoon Drive at KFI, right? Man, we didn't bust a three share the whole motherfucking time I was in Afternoon Drive at KFI, and you never saw a fucking party boat deserted faster than that one. Every motherfucker, this is not getting it done, right? So that's when I realized that these guys, these suits, you know, are about as loyal as, you know, as your average rat on a fucking sinking ship. So I decided I ain't going to work that hard anymore. I'm going to have fun. I'm going to do a show that I can laugh at, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to have fun doing it. I'm going to have fun listening to it. How do I do that? Aha. And it took a while to sort of get my head to where I wanted it to be. It frankly took just another, you know, turn of the courage screw. You know, doing the show that I did with the characters and taking the phone calls, that took a fair amount of guts to go in and do a show like that with every new fucking radio station I was on. These motherfuckers, you know, I had to weather, God knows, an incredible gauntlet of complaining, bitching, pissing, and moaning, right? But I think it took even more guts for me to do this show, because this show that I do now, which is basically just an entirely self-contained improvisational satire, because if you think that show's weird, this is even more fucking weird, because there is no phone call interaction. There's no reality anywhere in it. It's absolute complete theater. I had a guy say to me, this reminds me of the old days of radio. Well, first of all, you must be really fucking old. Second of all, what old days of radio? No motherfucker on the radio did what I'm doing. What are you talking about, man? See, we're going to be doing, I got to do 30-second promos by Friday for Podcast One. And in that promo, our thinking has come completely around. Oh, you should know this. You're going to love this. Our thinking's gone completely around. And this was Alex who insisted on this. He said, you got to put in that promo what you're doing. I said, what do you mean? He says, you got to say, hi, this is Phil Hendry. I want you to listen to my show. I'm not only the, I'm everybody. I'm you know, it's something like, hi, I'm Phil Hendry. I want you to listen to my show. I am the guest. I am also, I'm the host. I'm the guest. I'm the callers. I'm the whole damn thing, you know, something like that. And then we have clips from the show. I said, wow, you know, we did that in radio, and it did increase our time spent listening. Alex said, absolutely, man. I said, it sounded so fucking lame. He goes, you got to do it in a way where it's going to be cool sounding, you know. He says, we have to sell that. So he's right. He's fucking right, man. Pardon me, I'm unzipping my pants. I'm going to be masturbating later on in the program. All right, folks. So that's a first. You're the first people to hear that. That was a conversation Alex and I had at just outside the offices of Podcast One as we were coming down the stairs, and we went out into the sunshine of a beautiful California afternoon. And he said to me, and another thing, if you ever, no, he said, you got to do that, man. I'm like, okay. So we got to get those promos together, but that's I'm on board with that one, man, because I really do feel that people need to know what it is they're listening to. All right. Hi, so Gene Jabel here. Hi, this is Gene Jabel. This is Country USA, Country USA, and the whole theme of this one is going to be Gene Jabel, Country USA, and he's going to be describing how he got his ass kicked and beaten by all these country artists because he was inappropriate and said dirty, filthy, inappropriate things. Okay? Okay. So stand by. And then, of course, we have our mid-roll. This is going to be our our mid-roll. Oh, I know what I got to do. Let me get the bed music here. Right? This is so... Oh, wait. You know what, man? Fuck. Too goddamn fucking tinny, man. Shit. This motherfucker. It's okay. I walk 47 miles of wild wire. I use a cobra's name for a necktie. I got a brand new thing on the road. Made out of rattlesnake hide. Hi, buddy. Willie Dixon here at Nashville Skyline. I'm going to be down at the Nashville Willie Dixon Parlor. I hope you join me for that. It'll be on Saturday night. Now back to Gene Jabel, Country USA. All right, Willie. Thanks a lot, everybody. This is Gene Jabel, Country USA. Here comes another one on our country chart for this week. We're going back to 1952, or whenever this goddamn piece of shit was done. I knew Dave Dudley. I love Dave Dudley. I love Dave Dudley as a brother, but he didn't love me as a brother. Alright. Yes, go fuck a duck, man. Hi, buddy, Gene Jabel. Say, Gene, you gonna be out there at the Willie Dixon Parlor? I'm gonna be out at Willie Dixon Parlor. I'm gonna see my good friend, Willie Hickson. Willie plays that bass guitar, plays the fiddle, plays the banjo, and we have a good old time there out at Willie Dixon, or Willie Hickson Parlor, excuse me. I knew Willie Dixon. He was a bass player, a very good friend of mine, but because he was African-American, we were not allowed to see each other all that frequently. Not that we had any kind of a love affair. He had to come through the back door, but I'll tell you what. And when I say he came through the back door, there's a few little ladies in this town to tell you all about that. Yo-lody, yo-lody. Why don't you shut up? What if this guy was like, yo-lody, just doing this? Okay, Bob, don't do that. Don't do any more yodeling. I can't. Bob, please tell him that. Shut up. Shut up. Okay, shut up, man. Shut up. Shut up. If you yodel again, I'm going to come over there and I'm going to hurt you. I'm going to hurt you. You understand it, right? Is he naughty? Yeah. Okay, so don't yodel. Don't yodel at all. Yee! All right. I like this music. See, as long as he doesn't yodel, then there's peace in the valley, Jack. You know what I'm saying? All right. It's time for us to get the show going. Let's get our shit together here. Gene Jabel, Country USA.